Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, December the 16th of 2020. And I'm so glad that you've made the determination to tune in to this wonderful radio program tonight to learn more about Jesus and to, of course, celebrate the birth of Jesus, celebrate Christmas here on the Miracle Man Show as we spend, you know, the 2 weeks leading up to Christmas. Christmas is a lot of what we deal with here on this program. And maybe tonight or maybe next week, probably next week, because next week is Christmas week. And I was thinking about the way it's set up this week, this year, with the calendar, as far as, you know, date placement, when is Christmas, and that, because of course Christmas is always on the 25th, but I think it's really cool, actually, this year, that you have, you know, Christmas on a Friday, and you have, you know, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Friday is Christmas Day. Now, next year is going to be pretty cool, too, because then you'll have Christmas on a Saturday. And then, of course, the 26th, which is the first day of the new week. And that'll start New Year's week. So, to think about it, it's kind of a cool setup to have. And you know, it just works out cool like that. But what I was saying was, one of the times I'll take a few minutes to talk about, you know, what my favorite Christmas gifts were that I ever received. And that's something I'll have to think about, to be honest with you. Because I've gotten a lot of great gifts as a child, as an adult, as a teenager. So that could be a hard one, but I'm going to think about it. And so there'll be some various. So some of the biggest Christmas stuff, you know, other than like the Word of God, some of the other real ultimate biggest stuff we're going to be doing next week, because next week is in fact Christmas week. And of course, last year, you know, you had Christmas in the middle of the week. So it makes it harder to declare a certain week Christmas week if Christmas is in the middle of the week, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's closer to the end of the week, it makes it easier, doesn't it? To have a quote-unquote Christmas week. You know what I mean? Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So I said this year and next year, it's going to be pretty cool. So I apologize for last night. I said I was going to try to do a show last night, but with the computer, we had forgot it here at the house. And so we were unable to set it up. But we did go to that awesome diner that I love, Schmucker's Diner, located on Reynolds Road in Toledo. And I had a nice helping of fried shrimp with some fries. And how fitting, close to Christmas time, having fried shrimp as a couple different times my Uncle Dale made fried shrimp at Christmas time at our family get together. And so I don't know why I associate fried shrimp with Christmas. I'm sure I'm not the only one. But, like I said, I had some shrimp, some fries, and a nice big piece of vanilla and peanut butter pie. And it was delish. And their pies is one of the things they're most known for at Schmucker's. And they have one of the few remaining working rotary dial telephones in the state of Ohio, believe it or not. And they have been open since 1948. And they are a nice small business. So if you happen to be driving down to Ohio, or maybe you live in Ohio, in Toledo area or something, stop by there. When I was in there, it was pretty busy. But they informed me that they have good days and they have bad days. And sometimes, what they told me is that sometimes, you know, it's because sometimes DeWine will talk about, you know, threatening to close it down again, and then he doesn't close it down. As right now, all they're under in Ohio is a curfew for different businesses between 10 at night and 5 in the morning, which doesn't really affect Schmucker's that much necessarily, but they were saying sometimes it kind of, when people hear things like that coming from the governor, obviously it can affect business like that. But they did inform me there that they have had a lot of Michigan customers, like more than they would usually have as far as a percentage. And I had been in there like 4 times last year, you know, like about three times, maybe 4 the year before that, and then once this year. So I've been in there a grand total of like 8 or 9 times, and there's a reason I keep going back. It's real good food. It's a friendly atmosphere. Now, so I was telling someone just today, and they were repeating it back to me, that Michigan doesn't really have the quote-unquote diner culture, like having a whole lot of like really good diners, like a lot of like some other states have, including Ohio. Now, I've thought about this before. I don't know if I've said it on the show yet or not, but if someone asked in Ann Arbor, say I was there for an appointment, if they asked me, you know, what's your favorite part about Ann Arbor? I would say, if I was in an medical office, I'd say, like, other than, you know, good medical school, you know, and good medical and that, and having, you know, the Michigan Wolverines stadiums here. You want to know what the other best thing is? Depending on where you are in Ann Arbor, it can be as little as 40 minutes from the border. And if you're in Ypsilanti, you do a little bit better than that. By better, I bet you know by better, I mean closer. You figured that, didn't you? Yep, even better, like even closer to the home of, you know, there's some really good diners. And by the way, I told you I was going to either go to Waffle House or Chick-fil-A yesterday. Which did I choose? Waffle House. Because Waffle House, I did get a thing of fries from Chick-fil-A while I was at the mall, though. And their fries really, Waffle House was good as always. And I remember one time, about 4 years ago, we were coming back from Cedar Point, and my cousin had also went to a Cleveland Browns game, as my cousin's a big Patriots fan. And so he went to the Browns game that after Cedar Point, but me and my aunt, most of us stayed at the hotel. Well, him and his nephew went to this Browns game. So after the game, you know, we pick him up downtown Cleveland. And then we start the drive back to Michigan. And so Shelly's like, wherever you're going to stop and get some food? And I'm like, yeah, a Waffle House, because I had looked between Cleveland and here in Midland, and I had noted that the Waffle Houses were all in Toledo. So try to find the one closest to, you know, where we were and, you know, and where we were going. And I called the number listed for that certain address, you know, Central Avenue, Toledo. Guy answers the phone. He says, "Thank you for calling Burger King. May I help you?" I'm like, "Are you sure it's Waffle House?" So we drive over there. Sure enough, it's a Waffle House. I almost said, "Are you sure it's a Waffle House?" I almost thought that, you know, like, are you sure this is Waffle House? I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna give it a chance. I'm hung, you know. I really want Waffle House. So like, let's go. And so we go in there. Sure enough, it's a Waffle House. Mind you, that was my first time in that Waffle House. And I have been in that Waffle House now, I would say, at least 5 times total, at least. Yesterday, 2019, once. No, yesterday, 2018, twice. And 2016. 4 times. Four, that's the closest one to US 23 is Central Avenue. Of course, it depends on whether you're coming down from the Ann Arbor side or the Detroit side. That can determine which one you're the closest to also. So, anyhow, I still laugh at that guy answered the phone and said, "Thank you for calling Burger King." Don't you think that's funny, Becky? it is. At first, I was like, I didn't know what to do, but then I realized it was a joke, and I was like, you know, and I, you know, had to take it as such, and get some good old Southern comfort food that day. And I always say Waffle House always consistently good. And it's almost better if 3 miles down the road, your state, 3 miles up the road, your state is on a lockdown, a restaurant lockdown. But in this place, they're open. And then, mind you, when I was getting my fries and drink at Chick-fil-A yesterday, I asked one of the ladies if she remembered me. And I had told her about something that I had said about where I was from in Michigan when I had been in there in May. And she said, yeah, I remember. And she said, yeah, I heard. And she basically said, yeah, I heard about that. And she was like, about the state where you're late. Because they had felt sorry for me. And and of course, we got the real reason we went down there too, though, was to do some Christmas shopping, and we got some good stuff. And attendance was pretty good, I thought. And people may wonder, how about you, you Miracle Man, malls in other states? For those of you who know me, I am a big diehard mall fan, specifically of these larger malls. And with these other states, I have to go by region of these other states if I've been to multiple regions of these states. Example, in that state to the south, I have been to the Columbus region, the Cleveland region, the Cincinnati/Dayton mega region, and then Toledo. Because to me, example, so as you're going up and down 75, down there in the southern portion of the state of Ohio, so we'll say you're coming up, you know, and from like downtown Cincinnati, and you come to 275, you know, mile marker 16, then you go to Westchester, which is like mile marker, you know, like 20, 21, 22, around that area. And then you go through another, you only go through like, I would say 5-10 miles of countryside before you get back close to Dayton area. Because even Lebanon, that county where Lebanon is, Warren County, that's a suburban county. That is why I called Cincinnati/Dayton/Florence, Kentucky, a mega region. So you said, so you might wonder, Miracle Man, what's your favorite mall in the state of Ohio? I don't know. Depends on what region. Obviously, in the Toledo area, that's your indoor mall, Franklin Park. In the greater Southwest Ohio, you know, Cincinnati, Dayton, I would say Kenwood. In Columbus, I would say, maybe Polaris, but they also have this other mall that retail-wise has seen better days, but it has this huge indoor arcade, like one of the biggest indoor, like possibly the biggest indoor arcade type place in America. And then in the Cleveland area, South Park Mall, a mall called South Park Mall that opened in the 1990s. And so, like I said, depends on the region. But here in Michigan, it's easier for me to say, with a statewide view, I would say number one is Great Lakes. Number two is Somerset and possibly 12 Oaks, like next in line, like tied. Of course, all in the Metro Detroit area. I don't go to the west side of Michigan very much. I just don't. But like I said, but I do apologize for things happen. As for next week, Monday and Tuesday is basically for sure. Wednesday night, part of it depends on if we have church or not. Another part of it kind of, we'll just have to wait and see. We really will just have to wait and see. Because I know on the 23rd, I like to go around and look at how the stores are doing, you know, and all that, the last night before Christmas Eve. We just have to wait and see. We'll just have to wait and see. So, and then, of course, next week is, you know, like I said, Christmas week. I wanted to let you know about something else cool coming up, too. Starting very, 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 very soon, you will have a way to sell money into the Miracle Man program. We have to set it up, but you will be able to give and sow seed to the Miracle Man show. And I'm excited about it. Because then, you know, if and when I talk about giving, you know, you'll be able to sow seed. And we all know, you know, when you sow seed, God blesses that. And then, of course, you're not only helping me through the work of God, you're helping yourself. You're letting God bless you because you're sowing seed into good ground. Amen. Because this show is very, 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 very good. Very good. Solid. I don't say that like I don't mean that like in a prideful way at all. I feel like that's what God would say about this program, that it's good ground. I know that's what God would say. For so, and praise God. So, when we get that launched, I will let you know, and I'll let you know how you can sow your seed. Because I don't want to call it donation. I'd rather call it sowing seed. Because I'm not a hireling. I'm not a hireling. I am not a hireling. I don't want to be a hireling. That's not biblical. Like that's, I mean, being a hireling is wrong on so many levels. So, but, so tonight, what's going to happen tonight is we're going to sing a couple songs, then we're going to get into the word of the Lord, then we're going to talk a little bit of sports at the end. And tonight, I am going to look at the genealogy tonight when we read. You say, what's the genealogy have to do with the Christmas story? What's it have to do with it at all? Well, that I say, it has to do with where Jesus came from. Okay? Amen. So, like I said, we're going to start with a song. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe, it's hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, just there once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe, it's hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember me underneath the tree? Everyone in my wing. I'm all grown up now. Not for myself, but for everyone. No more lives torn apart. That wars would never start. Then time would heal us. And everyone would have a friend. That right would always win. And life would, love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. What is this about the innocence of youth? Not for everyone. No more lives torn apart. That wars would never start. No more lives torn apart. The wars would never start. And time would heal all. And everyone would have a friend. That right would always win. And love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. This is my only lifelong wish. This is my grown-up Christmas list. Amen. Hallelujah. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Beneath the cattle are lowing, the cows there in vain. The shepherds and wise men bless all the dear children in thy tender care. And remember, save me forever and love me, I pray. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with you there. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time together. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your birth. As you were born on this earth, you were born. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're not a baby anymore. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what your birth represents for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time in the Word tonight as we are about to study your birth, what it means for us as Christians. And we just thank you, Lord God, that people who listen to this show would be able to tell others about the significance of what your birth means, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you comfort those who need comforting right now. Those who have lost loved ones, those who won't be able to be with their families this Christmas season, for those who that you would just make us all at peace as we continue to work our way through the wonderful Christmas season. And I just thank you, Lord God, for everything that your birth represents. And I thank you that you would heal the hearts that are broken, and that you're setting captives free, that you are, Lord God, the great and mighty King. And I give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for that in Jesus' name. And I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program, that finances would come into this program, that increases in listenership would come into this program. And most of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you for a huge harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Let's make our Bible confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. This Bible is more than a history book to me. It is more than a story book to me. And it's more than a religious book to me. I am a believer. Therefore, I am a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Open your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Matthew chapter 1. Praise God, Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start with the genealogy. And like I said, this is important. The genealogy is important because it helps show us where Jesus came from. Now, we know he came from the Lord, of course, but what about the human side? You know, who did they all come from? So, we're going to look at that as well. Amen. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And I want to encourage you that for the next little while here, whatever I do, you do. As I study my Bible, you follow along with me. I pray, you pray. If I sing again, you sing. If I clap, you clap. Whatever I do here, you do there. Amen. I'm going to begin with verse 1 of Matthew 1. First book of the New Testament, so that shouldn't make it too hard. Unlike yesterday, where I missed I don't know how many turns. But, you know, stuff happens. But hope you found Matthew 1:1, because I'm going to begin reading. Matthew 1, verse 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Pause. You see here, Jesus, son of David. Of course, you know, through the family line, a ways down. Jesus, David, Abraham. Jesus, son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. And of course, you know, Jacob, the father of Joseph and Simeon and Dan, Naphtali, you know, all 12 of those kids, all 12 of those sons. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the begot Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Jehoram. Jehoram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. Amon begot Josiah. And Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim. Achim begot Eliad, begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan. Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph. You see, this Jacob was different from Israel Jacob, who also had a Joseph. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, from whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David. And there were 14 generations from David to the exile to Babylon, And there were 14 generations from the exile until the Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ went like this. Of course, in my version, it says, now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. I said it in a way you could understand. That's why I said, now the birth of Jesus Christ went like this. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her by public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child. She will give birth to a son. And then Mary and Joseph will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, during the time of King Herod, a magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. And all Jerusalem was disturbed with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means among the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country another way. Verse 13 now. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then, what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and he said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are now dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, In case of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and he lived in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what was said by the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." What you see, folks, happen here was, so Jesus was born, you know, and he was from the family line of David. And of course, David was from the family line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yep, Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob. So there you had the forefathers, see. That's what you had going on there. And obviously it was planned that way on purpose. And just like Jacob gave birth to a son, Joseph. I mean, he had a son named Joseph in Genesis. This Joseph, the father of Jesus, the father of the baby Jesus, was also came from a Jacob. Which is very cool. It really is. And so you know, so you think about all these different things. What about the star? You know, if you're looking around and you see on a Christmas tree, or you see looking around town and maybe you see some lights and there's a star on them, you want to know what that star represents? Jesus. Who was that star in the east? And that's where we get that whole thing from of a star is born. Of course, the star is from the east. I'm sure this is part of why the altar in a normal church is always on the east end of a church, much more often than not. And of course, the back door, where we would come in, you know, normally it's on the west. And then you have the different sides, you know, north, south, you know, depending on the kind of angle that it's laid out on, of course. But when you look at this, you just look and you go. You see, Herod he was afraid. He wanted to take Jesus' life. He really did. He wanted to kill all the boys who were 2 years old and under. He did. That's what he wanted. And so an angel from God basically told, he did tell Joseph, he basically said, Joseph, get up, grab Jesus and Mary, and go to Egypt, and stay there for a while. Basically, at that point, he doesn't exactly say how long it's going to be. Could be 2 minutes, could be 2 years. But of course, but mind you, he had to do it in the middle of the night. And waking up a baby in the middle of the night, you know, that can be a disaster. Could wake up the neighbors. But obviously, you know, Mary, Joseph, they weren't concerned about neighbors and who they would wake up. They had to get up and obey what the angel had said. And of course, in Matthew, the version we read tonight didn't exactly talk about the swaddling clothes or the fact that he was born laying in a manger. not lying like telling lies, but like lying down. Because, of course, Jesus isn't a liar. He's truth. So, you know, and then later, when Herod dies, the angel comes to Jacob, the angel comes to Joseph, and he tells Joseph, go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take Jesus' life are now dead. So they left Egypt because, of course, as it was said to the prophets, out of Egypt I called my son. So they go to Israel, and when they get to Israel, they go to a region called Galilee, and then they go to Nazareth. And there was spoken by the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. Now, of course, these Nazarene churches, not everyone who goes from is from Nazareth. You know, the Nazarenes, you know, they're a denominational church. In fact, one of my uncles had pastored a Nazarene church at one point. My grandpa used to be, on my mother's side, used to be the pastor of a Wesleyan church. Now, I don't know why they're called Wesleyan. And even the Methodists, I don't know why they're called Methodists. What do they have so many methods of? What? Huh? This birth of Jesus. Why on earth was Jesus born to this earth in the first place? Why? Well, there are five reasons. One is to reason number one. Jesus came to save. He's not necessarily in numerical order. One of them is Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Next one. Jesus came to save sinners. From their sins. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil is, as we know, you know, very evil. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's one of the five reasons that he came. Number four, John 10:10. Jesus came to give life, and life more abundantly. What's that mean? Good life. Happy life. Not just a life full of despair and depression and sorrow and being broke or broke down and all this other stuff. Life and life up more abundantly. this life more abundantly part, that's where we can get into things like health, healing, and, you know, sound mind, and other things. Number five, Jesus came to establish governance. So that, like, God would rule the nations, as you see in Isaiah. Now, he was not talking about, you know, the federal government, the state government, the city government. No. Like, governance. Where, you know, and where it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Where it says that, he's not talking about Big Brother. No, he's talking about the God-given. He's talking about spiritually speaking. And you should be able to tell someone if they ask you, well, why did Jesus even come to the earth in the first place? You should be able to explain to them. First of all, he came to save his people from their sins. Like I said, I'm not necessarily doing them in numerical order necessarily, but he came to save his people from their sins. He came to save sinners from their sins. He came, the third one is, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Number four, Jesus came to give life, and life more abundantly, John 10:10, and then the book of Isaiah, you had number five. And that was where Jesus came to establish governance. And that's like where I said, where he says, and the government shall be upon their shoulders. And and you should be able to tell people that, as far as those other reasons why Jesus came to the earth. It was not to sit there and be pretty and for people to give him frankincense to play with or myrrh to play with or gold. And so, I'm just so glad that he's not a baby anymore. He's not in a manger anymore. And so, but I want to remind you of something. You're going to keep being reminded of this even next week by me. And here's what it is that I want to remind you. And that is this. The birth of Jesus Christ had to take place in order for the covenant that we have with Jesus now to even be possible. Because it was prophesied, you know, in the book of Isaiah, and you know, what would happen, and they would be, you know, he would come, and here's what would happen. Of course, in order for that to even be possible, for the covenant we have with Jesus, in order for the covenant, the blood covenant that we have with Jesus, you know, the covenant that he died on the cross for, and he shed his blood for us, that covenant we have with Jesus, the blood covenant, in order for that to even be possible, Jesus had to be born first. he had to be born of water through the virgin birth, Mary and Joseph. In order for that to even be possible. He had to. They had to give birth to Jesus. And of course, Mary's sitting, Joseph's sitting there like, can't believe she's about to have this baby. And he's like, I don't want to do it wrong. I want to do it right. And the angel says, basically says, Joseph, stop worrying. He basically says, Joseph, stop it. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her this baby, this conception, is from the Holy Ghost. God did that. God did that. And she gives birth to Jesus, you know, in Bethlehem, in that manger, where there's no room for them in the inn. Notice it didn't say what kind of inn. Could have been a Best Western. Could have been a Holiday Inn. Could have been, I don't know. I hope it wasn't Crazy Motel 6. Maybe a Super 8, a nice Super 8 maybe, it would have, could have been. But as I said, he was born in the manger. By the way, about those hotels, I was just teasing. But there was no room for them in the inn. And by the way, that didn't necessarily mean hotel. That could have meant the hospital that they would have gave birth at. But some of you may wonder, well, we believe that Jesus was born in the spring. Or maybe he was born in the, like, October. Or something like that. Well, to that I say, we don't exactly know for sure the date that Jesus was officially born. Obviously, we celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th. And, of course, the winter solstice is on December 21st. And, then of course, Christmas is 4 days later. So, that's the agreed-upon date that we celebrate, as I said, the birth of Jesus. And then as for the resurrection of Jesus, which I'm sure I'll mention again when we come to that time in the spring, it's not exactly known exactly what that date was. Oh, it might be, but Dr. Barclay's never mentioned it. Exactly what that date was. Where he died on the cross. We do know that it was the sixth day of the week. And then we know he was risen on the first day of the week. So that's why we have, you know, Good Friday, God Friday, actually, and then Easter Sunday. But obviously it's based on the moon. And there goes the story. But should go through next week. You know, I'm going to be telling you some stories about the candy cane, the Christmas tree, and why we have, and why we have, and why we have them. There's more to those than just decorations that look pretty. There's a bit more to them than that. And then, you know, there's the different reasons for some of the different things we have and what they represent. And what about Santa Claus, which is actually St. Nicholas? What about him? Is he just a big guy in a red suit who ate too many cookies and drank too much milk? And does he come down your chimney on Christmas Eve at midnight? And some things like that is part of what, you know, what we'll be discussing next week. And of course, we'll carry on some of the things about the birth of Jesus and, like I said, what all it did for us. And it's a great thing. Because if he wasn't born, the blood covenant that we have with Jesus wouldn't have even been possible. And what if Joseph had said, "I'm not marrying Mary"? And different things like that. What if all that stuff had happened? But Mary would have, might have had him anyway. But then the wise men, what significance do they have? And the shepherds. Well, Jesus, well, the Lord is our shepherd. And more on that next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, for this word. May it get inside of us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done in us, what you're doing in us, what you're going to do in us. We thank you that you were born in Bethlehem when you were to be born. And we just thank you, Lord God, that all of this happened and that we reap the benefits of all of this. And I pray that those people who do not know you, may they find you right now and get a hold of me. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. All right. Football. The Lions take on the... Is it the Bucks this week? The Lions get the Bucks? So it's the Lions versus the Bucks in Tampa Bay. The Bucks are two games behind the Saints. The Saints are winning that division, leading that division right now. And of course, the Pack won the NFC North. That was no shocker there. But when I look at my predictions and when I make my thoughts about this game, my prediction, feeling like a million bucks, 31, lying down, 20. Michigan, they will not be playing Iowa like they were supposed to because of, COVID. OSU will be playing against, I think it's Wisconsin. My prediction, high, low, high, and outside. I mean, low, high, and low. 34. Cheeseheads. 14. As team to the south will stay undefeated, and they will make it to the college football playoffs. And could they get it all this year? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Pistons, they're starting to get ready for their regular season very soon. The regular season will start within a couple of weeks, a few days. And the Tigers, Dave Dombrowski, no. The Al Avila, he says that he doesn't think the Tigers are ready for the playoffs in 2021, but he does think they will possibly be 500 next year and so improve on what they did last year. But as far as truly making the playoffs and being contenders, they still have some building to do. And if they can, depending on what happens, you know, in the minor leagues, they can get some good prospects that way and be hopefully getting back to the winning ways and winning playoff series. So, as it's been too long. It's been way too long since anyone in the city of Detroit and the pros has won a playoff game. Since 2012. Come on, Detroit, we're better than this. And by the way, this is any of the sports, football, hockey, baseball, basketball. Pistons haven't even won a playoff game since 2008, when I was 18 years old. Come on, Detroit teams. We can do better. And so, confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us, our medium dwellings, for you, Lord Jesus, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no sickness, no disease, no terrorist, no Rona, no fire, flood, or crash. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. And lastly, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now bring us a figgy pudding. Now bring us a figgy pudding. Now bring us a figgy pudding. Bring it right here. And folks, until next time, God first, God always, and if I don't see you before Christmas, you have a Merry Christmas. If you don't turn in before Christmas, Merry Christmas. God first, God always. So long, everybody. And I will see you on Monday.